Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Welcome to episode 74 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, the 17th of August. It is our third year anniversary show, and joining me as always are the usual gang. Hello, Juz.
Hello, Disney Pod people. Hello, Adam. Happy birthday to
my
you.
Birthday, but thank you.
It is really.
Well, kind of, I suppose. And hello, Craig.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Juz. Hello, everyone. Hello, anniversary.
And hello, sat out by the pool in Orlando?
No, I've come inside, it was hot.
Oh, I'm so...
Oh, love.
Yeah, you know, and I'm here thinking I can't take the computer outside because it's going to rain. So there you go. Well, yeah, it's 3 years. I can't believe we've been doing this show for 3 years.
We haven't.
Well,
without
mostly,
being arrested.
Without being arrested or sued or anything like that. 3 years, that is scary. Especially as... Can you remember, Juz, what episode your first one was?
I think it's number 6.
It is episode 6. And do you know when episode 6 came out?
Yeah, I think it was January 2000 and something.
Nearly. It was actually New Year's Eve. On New Year's Eve 2008 is the first time you were on the show. And if you listen back to that, you'll actually hear just how posh we sounded. And at that point, just had a little bit of respect for me. And that went out about episode 7, I think. Yeah, he also spoke way too fast and had a Scouse accent, but he does seem to have calmed the Scouse accent down a little bit and slowed down his speech a little bit, which is good.
Wow, it's a long time.
When did we
touch base? It must have been November then.
It would have been probably November 2008.
It was on Disfriends, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I think it was Disfriends at the time.
Yeah.
And now look. And you, do you remember where you were?
Memories light the corners of my mind.
Right. So that means 2 shows in a row we've got co-hosts singing. Brilliant. Craig, do you remember when your first appearance was?
Oh, 17.
Episode 17.
16?
Episode 17. 17.
The 1906.
The 9th of June 2009.
Was he posh?
Was he posh? No. He was quite quiet and not opinionated in that particular episode. And then by...
Was it the one all about the heat in Orlando?
It was, yeah. We did a load of tips about heat in Orlando and all that sort of stuff.
That's when we used to prepare, Juz. Do you know when we used to write things down and have it all...
Yeah, they were the ones. Yeah. Oh, those were the days. Hey.
Crazy days.
You've got to have some memories, though, of the past 3 years. Something that sort of... As everything we've done together as a team... something that really sticks out for you, and I purposely not let you prep for this because you wouldn't listen anyway, but just, you know, is there anything that really stands out for you of stuff that we've done in the past 3 years? Just,
yeah, it does, actually, funny enough. I remember our 3 year anniversary show as if it was today. And talking about how we look back on things, and that sticks in my mind quite vividly.
Alzheimer's, it's awful when you get to just,
I need to think. You've got me there.
I know. I thought I'd go on.
I can come up with it. I think that as a collective three, we've come up with quite a few firsts, which I'm very proud of. So, you know, things like there were
the
lots
shower
of
scene.
There's lots. You know, there was things like Disney magazines, and then, you know, we sit round huddling over Skype chat as we always do, coming up with the idea of Mouse Mag and making it free, and developing Mouse Meets into the huge success it is, and. Just the, you know, the different things, the radio shows, and, you know, pulling all that off from where we started to where we got to where we are now. And,
I appreciate that, but was there any successes?
Yeah.
And in true Craig Duncan style, I asked for one memory Craig might have had, and he's just listed off 4.
Gets his daughter.
Do you know, one of my memories, I think, has got to be last Christmas's panto.
Oh, that was funny.
That was good fun to do. I enjoyed putting that together. So I think that's probably one of my memories. Have you got one, Juz?
No, I'm still thinking. Keep padding.
I've given mine, and we've given Craig's as well. What are you doing? Drastically looking through all the past episodes to try and find something good to say.
Must be something that sticks in my head.
I suppose there was the reinvention or the bringing back of Iron Orlando. That was one thing that we did, wasn't it?
That's not a Disney Brit thing.
It's not a Disney Brit thing, no, but it's something we've done as a team.
Are you talking about things we've done as a team?
Yeah, not just Disney Brit, just generally as a team.
No, still nothing. Give us a clue about your names again.
It's got to be Discot to do, hasn't it? With what you've managed to do there. You know, I mean, you could make a film about that. Social Network or something.
That's a good idea.
You mean number 91 or whatever number it was? See, I would have been able to produce something like this, but Adam has just spent the last 10 minutes just going through a film list telling us what ranking they are, so my mind's all of a mush now.
Well, if it comes back to you at any point during this episode, just give us a shout.
You'll edit it in.
Yeah, I'll edit it in. Yeah, we'll just put it in now.
Columbus Vacation Villas, Central Florida vacation home rentals and property management services. If you are looking for your perfect vacation villa, get in touch with this friendly family-run business, which will go out of their way to make sure your vacation of a lifetime is just that. If you already own a villa in Orlando, then let Columbus take care of everything whilst you are away, giving you complete peace of mind. Check out www.columbus-vacations.com and discover a new world.
Basically, this is the third year anniversary episode, and of course our anniversaries always fall during the summer, during the busy summer. So this show is being pre-recorded, which means that there's going to be no news. But what we thought we'd do is we'd do something a little bit different to what we usually do. Normally we've got something like Disney Island Discs, or we have Around the World in 80 segments, or, you know, we have the news and all those sort of bits. But we decided that we were going to be Imagineers for the day, and the task that I've given to the lads is the following. You've got an unlimited budget. You can access any film library that you want to. You can build, destroy, remodel as much as you want. But it's your opportunity now to change the great movie ride into something that you would like it to become. Now, I think we all agree, do we not, that the great movie ride is beginning to get a little bit outdated now?
Nope, love it.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I've one of my favourites. I wouldn't change a thing.
Right, so... good night. Thank you. The next episode. No, it's starting to look a little bit old now.
Yes, it is. Tired.
Yeah, really. Tired. And it's starting to you think about some of the films that are in there. They're films that kids just do not know about. There's films in there that I only know about because I've seen them in the Great Movie Ride, but I've never seen them. So the task is really to take the Great Movie Ride and to alter, update and change in whatever way you want to create a brand new attraction. So what we'll do is we'll go round person by person and they can give you a complete walk through the attraction. But before we start, let's give you an idea of what it looks like.
Hey, Waldorf, What are we going to see in here anyway?
It's one of those 3D movies. Put on your glasses, Statler.
Yeah. Hey, look. Look at the guy in the goofy mask.
That's not a mask.
Oh, sorry, lady.
Ooh. So you start off by going through the front of the Chinese theatre, Grumman's Chinese Theatre, and you go through the sort of to the right, there's an entranceway there. They've got all of the handprints and the feet out the front. And when you go through, you queue through the inside, which has got loads of movie props, things like that. You then enter into what is designed to be an old-style movie theatre that has the switchback queue, and it plays old sort of trailers from movies that are 10, 15 years old to movies that are 60-odd years old. And then you exit out of there into a 1930s-style Hollywood soundstage. That's where you get into your massive carriages, of which are then driven by a cast member who takes you through the attraction. Now, you start off by heading through what could be classed, I suppose, as the birth of the musical section. You go and see the Busby Berkeley's Footlight Parade. Then you've got that wonderful scene from Singing in the Rain. And then finally Mary Poppins that happens there. Then you enter through the sort of gangster movie style area, where you get a lot of stuff to do with Public Enemy. And if it's doing a multiple stop, you can stop in one of two areas. Are they going to stop here and you're going to see a bank robbery and a fight going on there? It's not bank robbery, sorry. It's just a fight that's going on there with the gangsters on either side, and then your cast member gets taken out. Or you go through to the western area. You've got Clint Eastwood, John Wayne, all of those sort of people. And there's a bank robbery that's seized there, and your cast member could get taken away there. You then go through to the alien section. Then you've got Raiders of the Lost Ark. Then you've got like a horror-themed area which goes through burial chambers with mummies, things like that. Then you've got a Tarzan scene. And then they incorporate drama with Casablanca, animation with Fantasia. You go back to the big musical scene of The Wizard of Oz. And the finale is that classical film moments where you see loads and loads of clips from loads and loads of different movies. So that's basically the whole attraction. So, Craig, why don't you start us off? Why don't you walk us through what your great movie ride is now going to become? What you're going to take out, what you're going to keep, and where you're going to replace them?
We could regret this, you know.
Yeah. Well, mine won't be as detailed as Adam's or Jazzy's.
I'm still typing it.
Yeah, exactly. I just typed a little bit then. I think the first thing I would do was change the look of it, because I think, you know, your man's Chinese theatre, it used to look nice before the Sorcerer's Hat was there.
Are you talking now here outside the building?
Yeah, the outside, right, of the building, the facade. Now, I had two ideas, okay, because that's the way I do things. So the first idea was to go for the Empire Leicester Square building. Change it to,
okay,
you know, that, put a big red carpet out, make it look like a premiere. Or if that couldn't work, you could do it like the Electric Cinema in Birmingham. No, do it like the Empire Leicester Square. The other one, but I thought, actually, no, you could do even better than that. You could use new technology, keep moving forward, use these new projection systems, and it could change into different cinemas around the world.
Okay, that's quite a nice idea.
So you start it off, you know, when the Brits turn in the summer, Empire Leicester Square.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when Cannes is on, you make it look like something in France. So, I don't know, the Frog's Leg. And you do all the different, you know, you can have lots of different wonderful theatres, big LA theatres and everything. So that's what I would do. You go inside. I think I would keep the fabric of the ride as it was. But, you know, as you kind of said in your little introduction, the films are old and not relevant. And whilst I'm thinking, actually, you should focus on Disney rides and Disney Park, but I think there are some other great ones that I would do. So the kind of genres and the way that it works, I'm quite happy for it to go in. I think that you need to have it kind of a big kind of glamorous entrance hall, and the ride vehicles I don't really care about because they're kind of less important. I would certainly keep the live kind of action guy, tour guide on there, because I think that's brilliant and that's unique. And, you know, that kind of reminds me of a little bit like Cinemagique down in over in Paris, you know, the way that they interact. So I kind of like that. I'd keep that. So you kind of look at, you know, you had Mary Poppins as one of the musical themes. I really don't think, and I know, Jazz, you'll hate me for saying this, but I really think you've got to put High School Musical in there.
So, when's the big game?
Yesterday.
Oh, well, good luck.
It was such a phenomenal success. Because it wasn't meant to be a success,
so,
and
what,
it just turned out to be.
What,
so,
are you removing to put that in?
Well, I've deleted it off my document, so whatever the other musicals were.
So you've got Busby Berkeley's Footlight Parade, you get rid of that?
Yeah, that's gone. Yeah, the so only one I'm keeping out of that section.
You put in High School Musical in there as the first thing that people see?
Yeah, Yeah, it all starts off Wildcats. It's all the music. Right. You're all cheering. And you have all that. Then the next one I would go to, because High School Musical, we all know, was supposedly had a working title of Grease 4. And actually, this came about from listening to last episode of Disney Brit, where you had Summer Loving playing. And I said, that's Grease. And then you come up with this tenuous link that it plays in Annette's diner in Paris.
Which it does, yeah. That
which was built
does.
In 1977, which obviously was the same as when Grease was released. So I thought, well, actually, no, Grease is the classic.
Good morning, boys and girls, and welcome to what we're sure will be our greatest year at Rydell.
The classic musical. So I would have the end scene of Grease. Okay. You know, they're in the playground.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
The fairground going. So I'd have that. So you go from High School Musical to Grease, and then you would end. I wouldn't change Mary Poppins because it is such a classic. And
would you keep exactly the same scene as it is now? Would you alter it to represent a different part of Mary Poppins?
To be honest, I can't remember what the scene is. Mary
it's
Poppins.
There's sort of rooftops, and you've got Bert standing up, and you've got Mary Poppins sort of with her umbrella flying up and down a chimney. She's out on the outside of the chimney.
That.
You keep that. Okay,
keep
that would be the same.
Yeah.
So your musicals are, I can't believe you're putting High School Musical in.
Yeah.
I was thinking about all of, do you know what? I went through a list of all the musicals I could think of that could replace different bits and pieces, and at no point did High School Musical even enter the idea of it being one of them. I was like, if I think about musicals.
Wait till you get to mine, it's all High School Musicals.
Oh, man. High School Musical, the movie ride. If I think about musicals that I think have changed or altered the way we view musicals in film, High School Musical would be nowhere near the top of my list. So it's quite interesting in that you very much sold out to the very popular High School Musical.
Yeah, well, you know, I have kids of the age, and I enjoyed them. I thought it was, good films. I mean, I did like them, and I can see what I like about it is the fact that Disney didn't realise how successful it was going to be. You know, it was made as a TV film, and it just went bam. And then also they kind of retro. Then did the second one went straight to movie, didn't it? Into the cinemas and so on. So. Interesting. So, you know, I think that, you know, you've got to have that. You're in a Disney park, you've got to have that. People like it, people hate it, but I think it's got to be there.
This is your great movie, right? So that's fine.
It is. And then I go into the gangster section, and, you know, gangster films have kind of lost their way in my bit. And I think, you know, the only ones that I really like, if you want like a cheesy one, I quite like Bugsy Malone, which isn't really a proper gangster movie. And you think of it, actually, there is only one gangster's movies, and that's the Godfather trilogy.
I'm going to make him an offer again with
you. You know, some of the best films ever made. Now, I'm not quite sure how you would incorporate it, but I'm thinking, you know, you've got the live-action guy. This is where he might jump into life, you know, with the round Tommy gun and something. Just do something around the Godfather trilogy, but you need the Imagineers. But that is all I would have, because I think...
Just the
gangster
Godfather.
Movies, just the Godfather. That's all you need.
That's cool. Okay. How would you incorporate the scene? Would you still keep the scene where the cast member gets dragged away and the gangster takes over? Would you still do that with the Godfather?
Yeah, I'd do that all theme with Godfather and do everything with it. And, I'm, you know, you would take up, people would probably hate it because I'd really mash it up, but I'd take bits from all the three films and make that sort of area as well.
I don't think that's a problem. I don't mashing up several things into one. If you think about what's going on within some of the areas anyway, you go through one scene, you see several characters from movies that didn't ever exist in movies together. The Western area, which we'll come to in a second, Clint Eastwood and John Wayne never appeared in a movie together, but yet they appear next to each other in a particular scene. So I don't think there's an issue with you mashing films together in that respect.
Well, it's my ride, my rules. Anyway, the Western section, that's been ditched.
You got rid of it completely.
I've got rid of it. I don't think my kids have ever seen a Western movie. I think it lives on in people. I don't care.
Is it not important as part of the history of film that Western has some sort of?
Yeah, well, I haven't got any Harold Lloyd or Charlie Chaplin in there either.
That's very true. Okay, yeah.
So I've replaced it with a better section. Anyway, I've got a comedy section, it's got two kind of films on it, and they're kind of different spectrums. So you've got to have, in my view, and I know that you'll agree with me because you've got to have some Monty Python in there. So
do you know, it's the one thing I've not got on my list, and I wish I had, and I'm glad you put it in.
And I would have Life of Brian, because to me that, you know, is the funniest Python film ever. So I'd have Monty Python.
But then, it's probably controversial.
Is that Life of Brian above Holy Grail?
Yes.
Could you put Life of Brian in a Disney attraction, though? with the controversy it had at the time the film came out, could you have...
He's not the Messiah! He's a very naughty boy!
...going on in the middle of a Disney attraction?
There would be pickets because certain people are into that, even though they didn't. The reason it got all the hoo-ha was the fact that people misunderstood the movie because they never watched it.
I'm not the Messiah!
I like your Monty Python idea, though.
Has turned up.
I do.
A spring. Go away. Yes, go and draw another picture of whatever you're drawing. And then the other comedy film I put in, a real classic, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school.
Oh, okay.
Righteous dude.
You can have the car having just crashed out of the window. That'd be brilliant.
You know, and then I'm thinking, or do I then, because I love comedy films, do I then go, you know, down to Bill and Ted and Wayne's World and all of those?
Excellent.
Like Bill and Ted with the machine, with the phone box, couldn't you?
Yeah. And I thought, you know, I'd have some of those in there because maybe it's my age that I'm thinking that these are the funny films that I, you know, that I grew up with and I liked, and that's probably the mistake of doing it. And, you know, my kids have never seen them and they're too young to see those films.
But I just think Wayne's World funny in there as well.
Yeah, I'd like to do something like Wayne's World. You turn into the room and you become part of the cable show. And cool.
Do you know what I'd do with Bill and Ted for your ride, Donks?
Go on, mate.
I'd have them as a reoccurring theme, so they appear in each part of your movie section going, excellent, and going, oh, look at this section or whatever.
Yeah.
And they could be your host that take you through.
Bill and Ted's Great Movie Ride.
Yeah.
Bill and Ted's Excellent
Great Movie Ride. That'd be great. That's completely changed the theme, totally, but I like that.
Yeah. Now, the next kind of section was a kind of mash of everything, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was horror,
adventure, sci-fi. And I thought, well, actually, I don't really want horror in there. I'm not a big horror fan, and I don't really want that in there. And, you know, this is a family show. So I've kind of gone down the adventure and the sci-fi route. So to me, I haven't worked out what order these are going to go in, but the sort of films I want to have, and I think this is absolutely a smack in the face to Universal, because they should have never got rid of, although they've replaced it with a great ride, but they should never got rid of Back to the Future.
We're sending you back to the future!
You know, whilst The Simpsons is fantastic and we love that, they should have somehow kept something to do with Back to the Future and built Simpsons as a separate ride. So I would have something to do with Back to the Future. I mean, it would just be phenomenal to have, you know, even if you could turn your ride vehicle into the DeLorean and have some effect of you shooting off or whatever, I would do that. Because, you know, we're allowed to use any film. So
yeah, we are. We can use any film we want to.
I'm not quite sure I like how it's portrayed at the moment, but I do like having some Indiana Jones in there, so I'd certainly keep some of those. Whether I go with Raiders of the Lost Ark or not, I'm still undecided.
You wouldn't go for the last one, would you?
No, that's gone. I'm replacing that with the best sci-fi films ever made. Just Star Wars.
No, I meant Indiana Jones. The last one was dreadful.
Oh,
God, no.
Alien.
How to ruin a good film.
So you're going Star Wars?
Let me see your identification.
You don't need to see his identification.
We don't need to see his identification.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
I'm going to go Star Wars. And the bit where you're going through the mummies is that's where you're going to be going kind of through, trying to get you through space, maybe through the Death Star. And I'm not going to go 1, 2, 3 Star Wars, classic 4, 5, 6.
Okay. So 1, 2, 3 will not feature at all?
No. Okay. Unless you get the bloke with the double-ended lightsaber, but I can't stand Jar Jar Binks. I'd want to punch him in the face.
Jar Jar Binks.
Maybe that could be the fight that goes on between the cast member. Maybe the cast member can be dressed up as Jar Jar.
Well, I'd like proper lightsabers.
Okay.
You know, that's the one thing that's never been invented properly is a lightsaber.
Isn't that a bit dangerous?
So you're going to create and develop proper lightsabers?
Yep.
Oops, cast member.
Yeah. Plasma one.
Do you know the Monsters, Inc. with how many days we've been incident free? You know,
yes.
That's not going to be very high, is it?
No. So that's the one thing, isn't it? They've never managed to be able to invent properly, you know, a lightsaber. How cool would that be, my limited budget? And then, obviously, Mr. Stakes would be happy because I'd be able to sell them to murderers. In fact, I'd give them to the police.
He's always thinking
a taser. I'm not having a taser anymore. I now have a lightsaber.
He's always trying to find a way of making a quick buck, isn't he? Right, okay. So next is the immense room that is Tarzan. What are you doing to that?
I don't like that. That's going to be my Star Wars room.
Oh, so you're going to take over that entire Tarzan room as your Star Wars room?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like that, Tarzan. That bloody great rock sitting up there. I can't do with all of that.
And also Tarzan. Yeah. It's just the way he swings across on that rope and he gets to the side and you see him turn around and then swing very slowly back again. It's a big room for not a lot, I think, with Tarzan.
Yeah. Now, the next bit we come to is Casablanca, which I think, that is... It's one of those things like I think you should keep in. I know the kids have never seen it, but it is, it's in the top whatever films of all time. Adam can tell me the number.
Yeah, it is. It's in the top 250.
I'm not sure I'd have it in that place. I think I'd move it more towards the end because of where my finale is.
Yeah.
So I would change that whole area and expand it into the animation Fantasia is.
Right.
And that all comes out and it's classic Toy Story 1, 2, 3. The best animated series.
Oh, so you're going Pixar rather than classic animation?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, I have that because I've got classic animation right from the end. So, you can think of there are so many great Pixar movies, animated movies, whatever. You can pick loads of them. But to me, there's a complete three. I mean, I think, you've got Back to the Future, great trilogy, Godfather, great trilogy, Toy Story, great trilogy. So to feature all three of them in my ride, my rule, that is what.
Okay, I'm liking that.
Go on.
Last one. This is the biggest room of the lot.
Well, the musical room, and I really love this. I love the Wizard of Oz room, the way it's set up now. I think it's lovely. I think it's colourful, it's bright. I love the way everything's going on. So I would keep that. I think that's a classic movie. It's had a bit of a renaissance now with the show. Maybe you'd want to take it, but it was never... See, quite like Wicked, but that was never a movie, was it? So you couldn't really incorporate that. But,
no.
So I'd probably just leave it as is. And then you come to the finale. And I quite like the idea of it being a film projection, but this is what I'd want to do with the finale. I want to limit it just to classic Disney films. And I'd want to start right at the very beginning, Snow White, go all the way through, and I'd want somehow to do like a proper cool hologram of Walt, but, cutting all the scenes, the best scenes of all of these films up to when he decided to leave us and freeze himself. Talking, little bits about each one. So it's quite a long segment, but, the geeky people will absolutely love it. Maybe hidden bits that were never put in, or little stories about, the cut scenes in Snow White that he picked up and that people supposedly put in. All of that sort of stuff. Just do it all. Take it from the very beginning right to the end. That'd be my finale.
So you get rid of the stuff that's in the minute, the charge up.
The bomb thing, everything. Get rid of all of it. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. So you really have quite taken a lot of that out and replaced a lot of it with your own stuff.
Yeah, but and I'm going to make a fortune out of lightsabers.
Okay. Are you doing anything to the queue area? I know you talked about the outside, you talked about the attraction, but is there anything at all you're going to keep the queue as it is?
Well, I would like to put some food things in there so you can actually eat whilst on the ride. I'd like to throw popcorn.
So, in the movies, you've got these like hot dog sellers and the ice cream sellers going, ice cream, hot dogs.
So you go past the Godfather point and it stops and someone comes out with a little table with ice creams and popcorn.
Hot dogs, get your hot dogs.
That'd be quite funny. I quite like that idea. Right, okay. I like that. There's some nice ideas in there. There's some ideas I've not thought of, which is great. I really like that. Well done. Lovely.
Nobody would let me help in the movie.
This is a very moving moment.
Yeah, I wish they'd move it to Pittsburgh.
Go on then, Jesse, what you got?
I spent weeks on this.
Yeah, whatever.
Because I forgot. I spent the whole time that Craig was talking about this, working on this. Right. I'll get rid of it all.
The whole lot.
And I'm making a multi-story car park. And I'm going to charge $20 a day. And there you go. Made a fortune.
Excellent. The end.
The end. Okay. Scrapping all the inside bits and getting rid of the outside fascia.
So, okay, can you replace that with?
The outside fascia is exactly what Mr. Tonks was saying, projection system.
Okay.
The ride, it's called the Great Pixar Parade. The projection system will be of all the Pixar movie characters telling you to come in and wander in. You'll go in there and you'll be told that this is the Pixar factory where everyone lives and works. And as you said about the incident free, there'll be a big sign on the wall saying incident free is 0 days.
Okay.
At which the cast member explained that, you know, something always funny happens, blah de blah. You got cars and the baddies, or they all live together, so you never, you know. So I still got the Malai fella there. Okay, and you hop in your ride, boing, boing, boing. And off we go to the first section, and it's Toy Story 1.
I just want you to know that even though you tried to terminate me, revenge is not an idea we promote on my planet.
Oh, well, that's good.
But we're not on my planet, are we?
And past this theming there is the fact that you're in the kid's bedroom and you get to see parts of the movie and all that lot, but the whole point of it is to get out of there, and Woody and Buzz will help you get through there, so you see all that movie side of it and the characters. Quite happy with rejection, quite happy with big characters as well. Very colourful. Okay?
Okay.
You don't seem enthused.
No, I'm liking this. I'm liking this okay. a lot. I'm so beginning to think that maybe I can't give my what I've got because I don't think it's going to beat yours.
Okay, so Buzz and Woody help you get out. So while you're getting to see the movie bits, there's a theme to each section about okay. what you're meant to be doing. So that the theme is Buzz and Woody help you get out. So you get out, you go, phew. You know, the live cast members go, phew, that was a close one. We managed to get out of that section without getting that horrible kid, whatever his name is, to set you afire. Sid. And we end up in Monsters, Inc.
There's nothing more toxic or deadly than a human child. A single touch could kill you.
So inside the Monsters, Inc. factory, we start to see the movie there. But there's an interactive element here. Mikey will actually talk to the people and talk to the cast member.
You could almost go through the door in Sid's bedroom that takes
yes,
you into...
into that, yes. Yeah. Exactly. Had I had more time to think about it, that's exactly what I would have said. But Mikey will also make you do actions as well. So you'd be doing like, oh, Mikey, one, you know, one eye and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's an, you know, interaction here at this point. And it doesn't necessarily have to be live interaction in the sense that it could be pre-recorded because a cast member could interact in the right places. But I also thought of a freebie. So the best person to interact or best dance or whatever, they get a freebie. So they get like a Mikey Teddy because it's a bit more interaction, okay. this one, than the other ones. So we go through another door, because I like Adam's idea about the doors. So I pop through the door and we end up in, ooh, Toy Story 2. See, keeping a bit of a Toy Story theme going here. At this point, as we go in through the car, we pick up the aliens on the left and right-hand side as well.
Okay.
So the car will pick them up and they'll start moving with us. I know this is a bit Toy Story 1-ish, but it doesn't matter. So we go through the two, Toy Story 2, bit of a film and all that, a lot of storyline. Mm-hmm. And from the roof will be the alien grippers coming down.
I have been chosen. Farewell, my friend. I go on to a better place.
So the things that come down and grab the aliens will be coming down towards you as if it's going to get you and pick you up and take you away.
To add the tension.
The idea is to, to get through there, go woohoo, you escape there. Into the next area, which is one of the best areas. It's up.
You know, you don't talk very much. I like you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once again, exactly the same theme as before. As your car goes through, it will pick up balloons as such. So the car will go in and lock onto two sets of strings and balloons. So almost like you're now floating. Nice. But your car's still going along. It's just got balloons to your left and right.
Nice.
And the film will be there, and there'll be the dogs fighting everything, and Doug will help you try and get through.
Squirrel!
Also, I thought there could be some kind of interaction here because I want there to be another prize given away, and I want it to be a hat that said, I dodged the cone of shame. And the cast member can make a joke about the fact that all of you are rubbish and you've all got the cone of shame apart from this one person, and they get to wear the hat, I dodged the cone of shame hat. And the great thing about that is very unique, and then people have got it think it's, wow, really cool.
What a joke.
Hey, I know a joke. Squirrel walks up to a tree and says, I forgot to store acorns for winter, and now I am dead. Ha! It is funny because the squirrel gets dead.
Cool.
So then we end up in Bug's Life. By the way, he's also promoting other rides in the parks, and they could do whatever they like.
Well, yet again, it is up to me to rescue the performer.
And Bug's Life, spiders from the roof, bugs from the roof. You're escaping through the bugs, and do you know what? I couldn't remember his name. It's going to kill me now.
Flick.
Dance name Flick. Flick helps you escape, so you get past the big crickety man. Wow. I should really know why Disney moved. Yes. Thank heavens, Adam's here. Do us a favour, yeah. Edit out the bit you're helping me. Just yeah. like hoppers there. And you know he's after that. Get you, and it's all the movie bit again, and it's all that lot. So the whole point is to make it's very colourful to make you think this is where all the picture characters live in this one area, and they're coming out. I think they've done it with Toons before. Into Cars.
How do you think I'd look in Dinoco Blue?
Down to Cold Blue!
In your dreams, Thunder.
Yeah, right.
Thunder, what's he talking about, Thunder?
You know, because Thunder always comes after lightning.
Kapow!
Cars, you can do tons of stuff in there. You know, you can have the racetrack going next to you. You can have all the characters there. I thought because you're going in a fairly slow-moving car, then we could almost give the impression that you're repairing the road. Mm-hmm. So in front of you could look really rubbish, but behind you could sort of look like you just laid the tarmac to it.
Yeah.
You know, bit of thing there. And then on to my finale, it's Toy Story 3.
Lotso, there's been a mistake.
A mistake?
The children in the caterpillar room are not age appropriate for me and my friends. We respectfully request a transfer to the butterfly room.
So we've started with Toy Story and finished with Toy Story, and there's a reason behind this. Because what I thought you'd do, you got a bit of Toy Story, but the main part of the finale is the fact that it's a sad bit on Toy Story about moving on. And I thought we'd use that as being that, almost saying that you start here, but things do change and move on. At which point I want it to look very much like Craig's was, funny enough. It's morph type thing. I'd like Walt to be digitized and to talk about moving on and moving forward and his vision. So you've got the Toy Stories going, things move on, but I want him then to reinforce the thing, the fact that we move forward, he's on this great journey, and look what you can do, etc. And I then want him to turn, walk to the castle, and it's Magic Kingdom, Walt Disney World Castle, this, yeah. Not Disneyland Castle. And then I want it to fade into black and white as he takes Mickey's hand and walks through the castle. And then you move and leave. And it's sort of like a story at the end that sort of molds or the fact that things do change, especially for kids. This is a story for kids as well. Things do change, but things move on, and life is great, and this is what we should achieve, and not what we do, and that moving on section. So I think from adults, they'd be like, oh, my little kids, and yes, I understand this, but from a kid's point of view, it's like, wow, this is how it all, this is the story of life, and Pixar moves on. And that's the end of my ride.
See, I like that. I really like that. If I'm going to be really picky, it would be strange to have Walt at the end when it's a Pixar attraction.
Well, that's why it's going to be that morphing across. But let's be honest, Disney and Pixar are one now. And you could almost say, wouldn't Walt's vision be the fact that it's moving on, isn't it? It's evolving.
That's true.
And Pixar is just CGI and all the characters. It's just what Walt would have done in the first place. And, you know, Roy looked at Pixar years ago when they were just a company with a computer, and so did Katzenberg, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
It was big, bad doodah Eisner who wouldn't do anything about it. So it was in the plan, so...
And what would be nice as well is, because you've got quite a big attraction there, which means that the building might have to be extended slightly, and if it was, that it was extended so you could exit out straight into One Man's Dream. Because then I think that's really nice.
Yeah. But I think Pixar, you know, it just... bring it nicely together there.
Yeah,
I think your footfall will be massive.
Yeah, I like that.
And the toy shop at the end. Whoa!
Yeah,
what a gold mine
store. Yeah, that's something completely different. You see, you've taken down a completely different route to what I have and what Craig has done, because we've still very much kept it along the lines of thinking about classic movies from all genres, whereas you've very much gone down the success of Pixar and gone with that route, which is quite nice. Right, I'm going back then to sort of the way Craig did his with regards to taking the different movies and different ideas and different genres and walking through it that way. I'm going to start off by completely changing the front. Now, I'm not going to go digital like you guys are. And I was thinking about, well, what is the equivalent now to the Chinese theatre? You know, where do the big premieres all happen? Where are the Oscars? So I'm completely changing it. Mine's going to be the Kodak Theatre, which you find out in Hollywood where they have the Oscars, all those sort of things. Because Kodak are already quite a big partner with Disney anyway, so the chances of them being able to get the Kodak Theatre are fairly simple, I would think. So I'm completely changing to the front of the Kodak Theatre. I'm going to sort of take the handprints and everything, and I'm going to move them, but I'm actually moving them out in front
to Adam's house.
Yeah, out to my house in my garden. Out to in front of the Sorcerer's Hat. Because I think now that the Sorcerer's Hat's there, and it's obviously there for a reason, I actually think once you've changed it to the Kodak Theatre, we can actually get rid of the Sorcerer's Hat, because the whole reason it's there is because it's blocking the Chinese Theatre, because that's not allowed to be the focal point anymore of that particular that particular park. So once that's gone, we can move that, we can open it up again, the Kodak can be the centre again, you can have that nice open area, and we can turn it into the red carpet and all that sort of stuff as we go through. And then the inside, the queue area, I'm going to completely retheme. It's still going to have all the props and all those all our ideas. I'm going down the Imagineer route of interactive screens for movie quizzes and things like that, but I'm going to update the props more regularly than they are at the moment. At the moment, we've got stuff that's been in there a long time. The horse from Mary Poppins has been in there a long time, so I changed those things out because I'm no doubt there's stuff in the Disney archives that can be brought in all the time. I'd still keep the 1930s style Hollywood soundstage. I just like that as part of the history. I'll keep the movie theatre bit of the queue as well. I'll just again update some of those trailers as I go through, so we've got the classic things as well, but I'm keeping the soundstage idea to start off with the same as it is. I just like that sort of opening, that start, the music, the whole element to that. Then I'm going into my musicals. Busby Berkeley's Footlight Parade. Okay, I understand it's an important musical, but it means very little to few people. And I just don't see the logic in keeping that there. So I'm taking that out. I'm not going Craig's route, though. I'm not going High School Musical here. I'm going less cheesy. Because I'm thinking, I want to go for a sort of musical that people are going to know well, and they're going to know well for it being almost like a universal musical. So I'm going to go
Hannah Montana.
I'm going to go for something like Sound of Music, Chicago, or Sister Act. One of those sort of three as my musical scene. Not Fame. Possibly Fame. Again, but Fame is one of those things that a lot of people won't know. Everyone knows Sound of Music. Everyone knows Chicago. Everybody knows the Sister Act. So I'm going to go for something like that to start off with. The Singing in the Rain scene, I'm keeping. I really like that scene. I think, again, it's a classic movie. I think we need something classic in there. So I'm keeping Singing in the Rain. I'll probably update the animatronics a little bit. But the scene will pretty much stay the same as it is at the moment. Mary Poppins. I'm keeping Mary Poppins, but I'm changing the scene.
George, I think we should listen.
Go very well.
At the moment, my problem with Mary Poppins is it's a room filled with a lot of houses, but few characters. So I'm going to rip all those houses out, and I'm putting Bert and Mary in the Jolly Holiday scene, when we've got that mixture of sort of live action and animation. And I'm somehow going to bring together animation and animatronics, so we've got the dancing penguins and we've got the carousel and we've got all those elements. So it's a bit of a brighter scene because it's a little bit dull and dingy in there at the moment. Right, gangster movies. Now, I was sort of like, it's Public Enemy. There's not that many people who know Public Enemy, but what I'm doing is I'm taking away gangster and broadening the appeal, and I'm going for more like a crime theme in this particular area. So I'm going to split up the room into little sections, a little bit like they've got with the Western. So first off, we're going to go past the characters from Pulp Fiction.
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
Okay, we're going to see those. Then we're going to see...
That's kid-friendly.
Well, no, it's not all kid-friendly, is it? But we're going to go past the guys from Pulp Fiction. Then, possibly the most famous scene from Usual Suspects is the point where they're all lined up in the incident room. So I'm going to have an incident room with all of the characters from The Usual Suspects lined up against the wall.
This whole thing was a shakedown. And there's no way they'd line five felons in the same row.
Then I'm bringing in The Godfather next, just like Craig had in his. And then this is the most least kid-friendly bit about it. They're then finally, in that room, going to go past a cell. And in that cell is going to be Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye.
He's going to be sat there staring at people as they go past. Not in a scary way, but I don't think it's any more scary.
Oh, in a nice, friendly, like he'd normally
do. Yeah, with the sweets and things.
No, with
a
teddy.
Because I think Alien's still quite a scary thing, whereas I'm going to have Hannibal Lecter in his cell, and then I'm going to use some elements of that somehow to bring together that the old... I might use the Godfather idea, like Craig, to have the swap over the cast members. Next, I'm going into Western.
You've missed out Peter Falk. What a tribute that would have been in the background. Columbo.
I could have had Columbo. Could have had Pink Panther, all those things. And there's plenty of space I can put them in. Unlike Craig, I'm not getting rid of Western. I'm keeping Western, but I'm adding more to it. And I'm going to actually add more to it in a different style, as well as it being Clint Eastwood and John Wayne that I'm keeping. I think they're too important as Western characters.
Blazing Saddles.
I think they're still too important as a genre to get rid of Western. So Clint Eastwood, John Wayne is staying. I'm going to update the animatronics. But then I'm also going to go into some other... slightly different Western style. I'm going to broaden the word Western quite a bit. So you'll go past at one point.
Eastern.
At one point, you'll see the character from Rango.
What was that for?
You're funny looking.
Well, you're funny looking too.
That's a funny looking shirt.
It's a funny looking dress.
You got funny looking eyes.
You got a funny looking face.
Northern. So Rango from you're the
movie.
You're going
to have Northern. Oh, brilliant. You're going to have a scene that's Shameless. Southern have East Enders. What, mate? What, not... mate, about? What, mate?
All right.
That'd be brilliant.
Is he shouting at someone out the window? Is
what, mate? Right, mate, right. Eat, mate, eat, mate. In it. Slaters.
I think he's broken down. So I'm going to have Rango in there, the lizard, Johnny Depp's lizard. He's going to be in there at one point. And then on the other side, to keep the animation thing going, I'm going to have the cows from Home on the Range.
Don't you know a hero when you see one? Huh? That's Rico, the best dang bounty hunter this side of the Pecos.
So we're going to have some Home on the Range elements there as well. Because we're all about equal opportunities here, I'm also going to put a scene in from Brokeback Mountain.
Sometimes I miss you so much I can hardly stand it.
Which scene?
I don't know. I've not seen the film. And
for
also,
me? What?
I'm kind of cheating a little bit here, but I think I can get away with it. In Back to the Future 3, that is sort of a sci-fi slash Western movie.
I set myself up as a blacksmith as a front while I attempted to repair the damage to the time circuits. Unfortunately, this proved impossible because suitable replacement parts will not be invented until 1947. However, I've gotten quite adept at shoeing horses and fixing wagons. 1885. Amazing. I actually end up as a blacksmith in the Old West.
So
this
I'm putting in the DeLorean next to the train from Back to the Future 3. All right. So
this is just a confused room.
Yeah. No, because it's all Western ideas. It's all based in the Wild West.
You just sort of squished everything together. This is as confused as the people in Brokeback Mountain were.
When the range is sort of... It's a Western.
It is, isn't it? You're going from classic Western to... This is wearing a cowboy hat to Brokeback Mountain.
But it's still Western. It's still Western. It's fine. I told you. It's because I want to fit as many things in as possible. Right, then we go through to the horror, thriller, adventure / sci-fi area. Alien's gone. Getting rid of it. It just doesn't work anymore. It's not scary. Nobody really knows of it. The last film was made, was it late 90s? Something like that.
Oh, no. Aliens versus Predator wasn't that old.
Are you sure? Was Alien versus Predator not late 90s?
Oh, God, my show went.
I don't know now. I'm going to have to find out.
Let me just go and check. I just checked my
Alzheimer's
list.
2004, you're Thank right, you. It wasn't that old. Okay, well, the scene anyway, which has got Sigourney Weaver in it, is well, 70s. So that's going, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to take over that area, and rather this time when you go through the sort of doors that go from the Western, we're actually going to enter John Stark's mansion.
You've been called the Da Vinci of our time. What do you say to that?
Absolutely ridiculous, I don't paint.
And Iron Man is going to be in there. He's going to be in the Iron Man suit. And I'm going to have, a little bit further down, some of the other X-Men characters. So we're really taking some of the Marvel characters here. Which is sort of... Did you say something, Joe? Sorry.
I like that idea.
Yeah, well, you know, Marvel's such a big thing now. And, you know, every other week at the minute, it seems there's a new Marvel movie coming out, what with Captain America and Thor and all these sort of things. So I think it's quite important that they sort of embrace this Marvel idea now. So, yeah, I'm going to get into John Stark's mansion and all those elements that can happen.
Do you know what you could do as well? Is a hidden dig at Universal somewhere in that as well.
That would be quite funny.
Like a Universal mug, but with a cross through it or something like that. An X-Men cross through it.
Quite like that. That's quite a nice idea. Well, I put some X-Men theme bit in there. Then the Raiders of the Lost Ark thing, I'm getting rid of, okay? I'm replacing it later on in the attraction, but I'm getting rid of it at this point. It's a massive room, which I think isn't utilised well enough, and I'm actually going to turn this, bearing in mind we're going for the sci-fi element here, and I haven't got any, I'm turning this into a Tron room.
I've got a little challenge for you, Sark, a new recruit. He's a tough case, but I want him treated in the usual manner. Train him for the games, let him hope for a while, and blow him away.
So it's going to be very much the idea of what Tron looks like all the way around. We can use projection on the walls, all that sort of thing. There's going to be, while you're in there, there's going to be a light cycle battle that's going to go on as part of it. And what there's going to be is the old area is where they swap over the cast members, that sort of stuff. That's sort of still going to happen. But what we're going to have is a character stood up there who looks a little bit like, it's supposed to be the Kurt Russell character in it. And he's going to be stood there, and he's not going to move. And the obviously the gangster or the western or whatever it is, whichever scene you stop in, is going to go up to see what's going on. And we're going to use some very clever digital technology, because what's going to happen is this person's going to go and stand, and he's going to basically be reconfigured where he's going to disappear into pixels, and that's when the guide is going to reappear. So they're going to do it that way, in a totally different way. I'm getting rid of the chamber, the burial chamber and the mummies. That's going. And in that place there, I'm going to put Indiana Jones. And I'm actually going to have the whole animatronic idea of Indy running with the ball following him. So that's going to be a very short scene that's going to happen. That's going to lead you through to the old Tarzan room. Now, we've already talked about the fact that Tarzan is old, and we need to get rid of that, really. So I'm completely ripping it out. And I can't believe you didn't mention this, Jules. I'm amazed. Well, you went for your Pixar one. I think you might have done. I'm going to have a Pirates of the Caribbean room.
I never would have thought of that. Clearly, you've never been to Singapore.
Okay. Which is going to be... because we've got the attraction, yes, and we've got Jack and those sort of things there. But I think we need a proper room that's going to have... Jack and Will are going to be fighting on the giant wheel like they do in the second movie. So they're going to be going along behind. We're going to have Davy Jones in there as well to make a really great animatronic. We're off the front of the Black Pearl or in there as well. And also, somehow, we're going to have that danger of the Kraken coming to get people who are sat in the vehicles. So we're going to work it somewhere with a cast member doing that. So I'm going to turn that into a completely different Pirates of the Caribbean room. Then I'm going to what I'm classing as the drama section. Now, we've got Casablanca, and I think Casablanca needs to stay, but it's got too much space. Casablanca needs to be cut in half. And I was thinking of, like, what is a classic drama, almost romantic drama, that we could use on the other side that would not only look really great, but also people would know. So I'm splitting it in half. I'm having the sad Casablanca, and next to it, I'm having a scene from Ghost.
Seems like... whenever anything good in my life happens, I'm just afraid I'm going to lose it.
But the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to have the character who's playing...
in that upbeat movie.
The upbeat movie. The character who's playing... whoever's going to be the Patrick Swayze character is going to be ghost-like. So we can use this Musion sort of technology where it can walk through doors, or, you know, it can go up to the other character and move around, and it'll be as if he's a ghost and things are happening like that. So it's almost going to be like this. A bit like they do with the beginning of what is now the old Earthquake ride at Universal. So that sort of idea. Then I'm going to animation. And I know, you know, when Disney built Great Movie Ride, the reason they just had to put the animation screen in there and the blowers for Fantasia was because originally that was supposed to be a tornado for Wizard of Oz. But they had to take that scene out because they didn't have enough money, basically, to pay for the rights to have the tornado. So they had to get rid of that, and they had to just put the screen in front. Well, this is my opportunity to really change this. And I'll keep Fantasia, but I'm going to rip out the screen, and instead, I'm going to have an entire room, and the floor of that room is going to be flooded in water. There's going to be an animatronic Mickey who's going to be floating on a book. And there's also going to be the mops and the brooms and all those sort of things appearing and water being thrown. So it looks like a real-life version of the movie, with him stuck in the room with his sorcerer's hat and all that sort of stuff, which I thought would be a little bit different. Certainly it would be a challenge with the animatronic Mickey, that sort of stuff. Then I'm going through to the musicals, and I'm doing Wizard of Oz. I'm going to keep Wizard of Oz, but I'm going to condense it down. It's too big. The scenes, I think Craig's right that it is such an iconic movie, it needs to be in there, but I think it doesn't need to be twice as big. So I'll probably keep the second half of it and replace the first half with another musical. And I've got here a choice between something like Grease, but I also noticed that I was very light in Disney stuff. So the other one I'm thinking, Beauty and the Beast.
Dismissed, rejected, publicly humiliated. Why, it's more than I can bear.
More beer?
What for? Nothing helps.
I'm going to put in there as a musical film and have maybe the ballroom scene or something that includes all the other characters in some way, but have a Beauty and the Beast scene in there, I think, in some way. Especially as, you know, obviously Beauty and the Beast was nominated for Best Picture. It's very rare that you get a cartoon that's actually nominated for Best Picture. I think it was only beaten by Silence of the Lambs that year. So that would have that element there. Then I'd keep the bit with the witch. I'd keep the bit with them saying follow the yellow brick road, but I'd obviously shorten it, and I'd keep the next bit where they would be going, and you'd see them going towards Oz. The next scene, which is the film finale, and now you're probably not going to like this, I'm getting rid of the film. It's a massive room, and I think it's so underused with a film that I'm actually, and again, this was originally wasn't supposed to happen. They were supposed to turn this entire room into the chamber of the Wizard of Oz, and they were supposed to see the Wizard of Oz in there and all that sort of stuff that was supposed to happen. And, you know, so far we've got all these great films, but there's one movie franchise that is totally missing from this, that is the biggest movie franchise in the world, and that's Harry Potter.
Dear Mr. Potter, we are pleased to inform you that you have been accepted at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
Now remember, I can use this, I can do what I like. So I'm actually going to turn that room into that, into the Great Hall, and there'll be an assembly going on with the characters, some of the characters sat around the tables, and with Dumbledore stood at the front. There'll be Harry Potter sat with the sorting hat on his head, and Hermione and Ron will all be there, and Hagrid and all those characters along the back. As I suppose one of the most iconic scenes when Harry becomes whichever house he is at Harry Potter, at Hogwarts. So I'm going to put that scene in, and then they will exit out back to that 1930s Hollywood soundstage, and that will be my great movie ride.
Was it not Gryffindor?
It was Gryffindor that you went to, yeah.
You didn't know that?
Tell you, he's terrible, isn't he? He doesn't know anything. There you go.
Busy. I like yours, Adam, but it's very busy, isn't it?
It is very busy. I know. I did. I just had all these ideas. Like, oh, I want to put this in. I want to put this in. I want to put this in, and I do this. And it was like I just wanted to get as many things in as possible. And I really wanted to put Monty Python in. I just couldn't find a space for it. So I don't have a comedy room. And so yes, it is very busy. But
ditch the Western. Work fine. Come on, mate.
Yeah, you don't like my Western room, do you?
No, I just think that when's the last Western, Brokeback Mountain, and that, you know, that was so off of what.
No, Rango is sort of a Western. Oh, okay. That was only last year.
Yeah, but it's not.
There'll be a resurgence. When there's pirates, there'll always be another cowboy film.
Yeah. Oh, they've got Cowboys and Aliens coming out next year. Which is, is that...
Do I think younger generation would enjoy a proper cowboy film now?
Might do. I can't remember.
Lightsabers, ain't he?
Who is Cowboys versus Aliens? It is, I've got to remember, Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford are doing it.
But is it an animation thing?
No, it's live action. It's based in...
Sounds stupid.
It's based in the Western. Harrison's it's a Western
not young,
in, is he? No, Western in 1870-something, if I remember rightly. I watched the trailer the other day, and they basically come up against aliens.
Yeah, right. Why can't it just be a Western?
It does look quite good.
It doesn't. It's just silly.
But that's all of them. And we were looking right back at the beginning of... before we started recording the show, some of the films we were talking about, and we looked at the IMDb, which is the Internet Movie Database, top 250 movies. And quite a lot of the films we've mentioned today are in there. You know, The Godfathers are in there. Pulp Fiction is in there as well. You know, Star Wars is well up there. Casablanca's there as well. Indiana Jones, Silence of the Lambs. So, you know, we are going for films there that are quite popular. You know, Toy Story 3 is in there as well. I'm trying to look through the list of where we are. There's just
High School Musical 1.
I don't think High School Musical 2 is in there. High School Musical, unfortunately, didn't make it. Harry Potter's in there.
How can that be?
I don't know, Jazz. Fixed.
Because High School Musical 1 isn't a film, it's a TV movie, isn't it? Is that the difference? Wizard of Oz is in there. Lion King, none of us mentioned Lion King. Which is quite interesting. Just suddenly thought about it. You know, so there's a lot. Groundhog Day, how great would that be if you had the same scene that just reappeared every now and again?
Yeah, that'd be really great, wouldn't it?
Every now and again, you just got a little scene.
What a cheap ride that would be. You sit there, just see the same scene for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and they go, right, get out.
But in my comedy room, I wanted to put Caddyshack, but I thought that was just a bit too near to the mark.
Yeah, and of course, The Life of Brian isn't.
Monty Python in general, I just picked that as my favourite one, but yeah, I suppose you could have.
Avatar is another one that hasn't made it in 2017
either. Smurfs, that's done.
The Smurfs.
Instead of Avatar, it's all blue, isn't it?
Okay, yeah, that's fine. We'll just have the Smurfs. Well, there we go. That's all of our lists. Thank you very much for all of your lists. And hope if you've got, you know, you've got a list you want to share with us, please feel free to email it, podcast@disneybrit.com, and we'll have a look at those on a future edition if you do send those in. So, that's it. That's the end of the show. I'm sorry it's a short one, but, you know, we wanted to just do one little special thing for our third anniversary. Thank you to Juz and Craig for joining me.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks to our sponsors, Columbus Vacation Village. You find them at www.columbus-vacations.com. Make sure to email us your questions, comments and suggestions at podcast@disneybrit.com. You can also ring our voicemail number on 0121-288-2858 and 407-545-7980. Check out our website, disneybrit.com. You can go over there, find all the latest news and rumours and everything that's going on over there. You can also check out our Facebook page and our Disney Brit fan page. And also, don't forget Discot, discot.net, which is the best place for Disney social media. You can also friend up myself, Justin Craig, at Facebook, and also download Mouse Mag. Issue 3 is out now with some great stuff in it. Thanks to those who have left a review on iTunes, and also thanks to those who continue to go over to our YouTube channel, which is Disney Brit Podcast. Don't forget, you can listen to the radio show on heartbeatradiousa.com on Friday nights, and also on Wednesdays. We have a load of different shows that go on there, including the Eye on Orlando radio show, eyeonorlando.com, and also you can download that podcast from iTunes as well. And that's pretty much it. And that leaves me with nothing else to say other than the next show will be released on Wednesday, the 31st of August. So until then, we'll see you.